Hey everyone, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars, and we are back to a traditional Steel Wars interview episode. I'm very excited. This was something that had been in talk since Star Wars Celebration in the back rooms and bars. While actual news is being made, we were talking about our little world and how much fun it is. But welcome to the podcast for the first time. But, and I want to get into this, in my fandom, like, you've always, like, you've always been there for whenever I've been in America, which is quite surreal. But Richard and Sarah Woloski, how are you doing from the Skywalking Through Neverland podcast? And also what we'll get into is Today in Star Wars History, which is a book they authored and published, which my voice just went up a little bit then, because publishing a book I hold in highest regard. So I'm very proud and envious. But welcome to the pod, you guys.
Well, hey, Steel, thanks so much for having us. Yeah, it was during Star Wars Celebration, and people were getting their arms cut off in that cantina and blasting, and Rodian pieces are going everywhere. And you were saying, hey, Han and Greedo, can you take a moment, 1 second? Because I want to talk to Richard and Sarah for a moment. And Ponda Bob was like, hurry up, my armor's on the floor.
Yeah.
The cantina band's going to strike it up again. So schedule something so we can move on with our lives. I remember that night so clearly. That's the way it happened, right?
Right, God. And I think we had just had some drinks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that many Star Wars references, I think you might be the lost Kasdan brother. It's
Oh. Your mouth to Kathleen Kennedy's ears.
That night was so... It's one of my favorite Star Wars celebration things, and it's the do nothing but lurk in the bar night. And just yes. And just see who I, bump into and get to spend a bit of time with. And having been like cut off from all that for so long, and in my time going to all the events in like LA and San Diego and, celebrations and stuff, like, you guys have always been a fixture, like, just like a few rows over, hey, how you doing? And it was so, I think I was gushing about it that night to you, but it was just such a like, we're back. We're doing dumb things on the weekend again. Yes.
Very, very much so. Yeah, it's sad at some of these big press events. You can look over, hey, that's Steel right over there. Steel, we'll talk later. And then this person and that person. And after the event, everyone disperses. Like, oh, I didn't talk to that person or this person. But we always see them and wave to them. But I'm so glad we get a chance to finally connect. And
we're making up for that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all, I don't know, it was such a warm, like, feeling for me, like, because it was such a strange new world, not knowing anyone, and just having someone to go, hey, like, like that little bit of, like, if I'm back in Melbourne, I'm used to bumping into people, like, all the time, but, yeah, moving to another country, whilst you know some people, it's a little bit of a solitary, like, sort of thing, so it was, yeah, it was always a nice thing just to, like, I just know someone to say hey to. And, compared to, like, the first time I went to a big fan thing, which was at, like, San Diego Comic-Con, like, you should know. Or actually, that part of the book's probably not out yet because that's later in the year. But in 2014, and just not knowing a single person, it was sort of, it was always so nice to, like, see you guys around. And, one thing that always caught me about you, though, I was like, there's a couple of people that, like, know how to have fun.
Yeah, Star Wars, George Lucas has been saying since day one, Star Wars equals fun. If you can't have fun with it, go do something else. Because this is all about reliving your childhood or making friends, connecting, being creative. And when you see other people just not taking advantage of that, I feel really, really sorry for them. Whereas where celebration, I love the celebrations because people go there to celebrate not just Star Wars, but their fandom and their friends. And like you were saying, that night at that bar, that bar was full of fans and podcasters and YouTubers just having fun with each other and saying hello and hey, I love your work. Let's get together and do this. And everyone there had a huge smile on their face.
Yeah, it was, it's just good to be like, yeah, just
positive.
In the mix. Yeah. And just sort of like the movies and that are like super sick and the TV shows, but it's like the human interaction and experience that sort of like gets you into it, like gets you amped to like get more into it so then you can go back and talk about it sort of thing. So, I love the jamboree night where it's just who knows what goes on. Now, your book, Today in Star Wars History, it covers January to June. We've got part one, and part two is about to come out. But
part two is...
Oh my God.
What is this? What is this over here? What's going on here?
This is a proof copy.
We just got our proof copy. And we went through it all. We made some changes, fixed some things here and there, and now it's officially done. As far as Sarah knows, Sarah said once because Sarah did all this amazing design work inside with all these pictures and editing the pictures and recolorizing the pictures and the layout. And she said, "Rich, you just add one decimal, one dot, one period. It could knock the whole thing out of whack."
And it's true.
It's like, hey, Sarah.
Tales of the Jedi
Tales
coming
of the Jedi
out.
Just happened, and can we add that in there? And and Star Wars just won at the Saturn Awards.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Second edition.
Yeah.
But today, is today going to make it? Because today is a pretty big day in Star Wars history. That's we're talking on Wednesday the
26th.
The almost Halloween of October. That's the date. And we just had Andor Episode 8 and Tales of the Jedi, the six episodes come out. Is that making this...
Yep. There are things in here that haven't even happened yet. because
what year in December does the Rian Johnson trilogy come out? Can you just flick?
Oh yeah, that is 2079.
Oh gosh. All right.
Yeah, and Kevin Feige 2077.
All right, I'm gonna have to eat healthier.
And there's Damon Lindelof, 2059.
Dude, don't do that one. That's my new dream, and you're already cutting the hand off.
Don't go there. Don't even think about it. It's like, just nod and say yes.
Until you see a trailer.
Until you see it hit Disney Plus or the theaters. Yeah, they keep on announcing things like, That's why a lot of those announcements are not in here, because a lot of those announcements never come through. So this stuff is all based on facts.
Maybe the deluxe edition can have the erased from StarWars.com this day in non-history.
Yeah.
Gone without a trace.
Yes.
But asterisk, there are a couple of things in here that almost happened, like the episode 2 and episode 3, they were going to convert those into 3D.
Yeah.
And they had release dates in October. They never made it because Disney bought Lucasfilm and said, hey, we're not going to put our money into that. We're going to put our money into new stuff.
Right.
So there was an asterisk there. So there are, I didn't do entries for the dates that would have seen the release of the episode 2 and episode 3 3D releases. I had to. There were so much fun to put in there.
Oh, well.
But things like the whole, whenever they announce a director, announce a film.
Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah. Patty Jenkins is going to do a film. It's okay. Those kind of things just upset me. So they don't make it in here.
Hey, we just want to know what happened in Star Wars, not what didn't happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
A couple of asterisks. Other than that, we're good. We're everything in here is fact checked and actual. So no, none of those false promises, as I call them.
Yeah.
Now you guys have been in the game. Like, there's photos of you, Richard, in here at dressed as Luke Skywalker, like very very young, like. You've done a book covering the Star Wars, the history of Star Wars. Like, could you ever imagine a day like today where it's just like so many different types? Like, I had so many different Star Wars itches itched I don't want to go into my personal health, but I got a very good itch in the past 12 hours from so many different, like, sort of, like, very enriching angles for different reasons. But, like, how did you tackle it, Sarah? Like, what was your strategy? Which way did you go? Who did you click first?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so, I mean, that's a little bit of a hard question for us because we do get screeners. So, yes. But we did hit Andor first because we had already watched Tales of the Jedi and done a full review yesterday. We recorded and had that ready to go today, so on our podcast episode. So we were all excited about that. But it was very exciting to watch Andor. So that's the one we clicked first because right now, oh my gosh, that series is just firing on all cylinders. But had we not got the screeners, I think we would have chosen Tales of the Jedi first because we went to Star Wars Celebration 2022. We went to the Tales of the Jedi panel that Dave Filoni was on, moderated by Amy Ratcliffe. And it was basically a discussion between the two of them where Dave Filoni just got on his Star Wars soapbox and just went. You know how he does that, right?
And then they showed Master Yaddle, Jedi Master Yaddle. Yes. It's like, okay, I'm sold.
Yeah.
You have anything with Jedi Master Yaddle, we're right there, Dave. That's all you had to say is Tales of Master Yaddle and tickets sold.
I've got bad news about season two, though.
What? Wait a minute.
No. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
What kind of order is that?
I got to change the topic. I got to change the topic. You know what? Just in case.
Going back to that original question, if you had ever told this kid right here, this kid right over there, there's me in 1977 meeting Darth Vader with my sister holding up a force beam lightsaber, if you ever told that kid that there would be so many Star Wars TV shows, my whole head would have went boom. It would have imploded, exploded, and imploded once again.
Yeah, and then it's like, and they put it at midnight on a Wednesday. Really? That's the bit I find far-fetched. That's why would you do that? But
Did you watch, Steele? What did you?
Thank you for asking, Sarah. I appreciate that. The Andor first.
Okay.
I stayed up to watch Andor.
Got
and
it.
Then I had my little sleep, and then after I got everyone off to their various places of business for the day, I tucked in, and I was quite surprised. I thought it was like three, like it was like Ahsoka episode 1, 2, 3, Count Dooku 1, 2, 3, but I kind of liked the way it sort of. You know, you had two and then one, and like I can't even remember the order, but I did like that it was sort of, it kept everything fresh. Mm-hmm. Like I sort of got to enjoy both stories for longer. And do you know what I mean? Sort of like it took it away for a bit, and then it's like, oh, back to this. But I was pretty like Andor, so I wasn't really thinking about the cartoons too much. But good stuff. Like went places that, like smack dab into the menace. Didn't see that coming.
No. Oh my gosh. Sifo Dyas deleting the files?
Dooku is stealing Sifo Dyas' ID and going to the library and going, hey, is anyone watching? I'm going to delete this right over here.
Yeah.
In this day and age, when you have cameras, your cameras on a doorbell, everything is being recorded. You'd think that they'd have cameras in the Jedi archives. And you hear a voice, Dooku, aisle 3, what are you doing? That's not for you, Dooku. That's not your name either. It's Sifo Dyas. Put that ID back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did Dooku actually not know what all the Jedi were buzzing about? Like, you know how he... Because it's just quite a coincidence that they did that at the same time. But maybe. Well,
yeah, they had to condense the story. They got to get it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I'm just sort of trying to. Yeah, it could be. I'm just trying to, like, back thing it of, like, yeah. Well, maybe because they are going to reveal themselves, that's when, like, Sidious said, go delete this now because things are in motion, sort of thing. So that does make sense. But when it was, like, Yaddle and Qui-Gon, and I'm sort of just like, oh, this is interesting, and, oh, Yaddle talks like that. And then I was like, wait, hang on. Like, they're talking about Sith Lords, and Qui-Gon's there. We're in Menace. It was super fun.
Yeah.
Whenever you can roll any kind of a new story into a film, it's just like what they did with Clone Wars Season 7. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Right now, Revenge of the Sith is going on. So whenever you watch Revenge of the Sith again, you know what's going on in the other room. And just like this, when you're watching Attack of the Clones or Phantom Menace, I know if you just pan the camera to the left, I know what's right there. You go to Padme's funeral. Oh, spoiler alert. Padme's funeral. You know Ahsoka is hiding in that crowd right there.
Yeah.
And I love a new, fresh perspective on the film. It makes things more interactive for the viewer.
Yeah, and I thought it was done pretty tastefully because you can sort of over, like, cook it sort of thing with the, you know, like...
references, you know, or something.
IG-88 becoming the Death Star. That's, and I'll leave it there, okay. That's when you're sort of like, come on. What was the other... Oh, and then the Ahsoka thing sort of intertwined with Clone Wars Season 7,
right in the Victory and Death episode when she's marched out to the clone army. It's like, okay, this is what all of her training has led up to this moment.
Right.
Yeah, that was, because I'm not like I'm no Corey Van Dyke when it comes to Clone Wars knowledge, but I was sort of like, Star Wars reference. Yeah.
But you know how you can be a Clone Wars expert? By reading Today in Star Wars History. I have broken down every single one of those episodes. So you can flip through and go, what happened in the episode Ambush? What happened in Twilight of the Apprentice from Rebels? Oh, I can read it within a couple of minutes and go, okay, that's what happened.
And kind of refresh your memory. It is very handy, I must say, because I have edited the whole book after I put it in the layout and read every single thing. And yes, a lot of these things in Tales of the Jedi are referencing stuff. I'm like, oh yeah. And it's like fresh in my head because I've read Today in Star Wars History.
Now, and there's so many episodes of Clone Wars and Rebels and Resistance and Ewoks and droids. Like, but what happened to what episode? So the last couple of years, I've just done nothing but watch every one of those episodes and broke them down story point by story point. So when you read it in the book, it's like, okay, now I remember what happens.
Now, talking about, like, you've just got the, you know, the proof there or the, you know, the final print off, and you're talking about all these references and stuff. When you put the proof up, I got a cold shiver through my spine because I was looking through your book before we started, and I got to, like, the bibliography, and it's...
The index, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's an index. Bibliography is where it gets... Yeah, okay. Sorry.
No problem.
That's why you guys are the authors, and I'm just here. But you can look up any topic here, and it tells you what pages are going to be mentioned on. And just the work in that alone, that seems like 4 months' work.
That's us 1 week of nonstop indexing.
Yes.
Friends would call, hey, Rich, do you want to go to this? And hey, Rich, do you want to go to Not Scary Farm? Do you want to go to Universal? I can't. I get to index tonight.
I just finished a big project for my shop back home, this big, like, wall Photoshop collage thing. And I had to take on that, like I had a free bed at the Hard Rock at Comic-Con, across the road.
Yeah.
And I was just like, nah, got a Photoshop. So your resolution. But hey, Sarah, you did the layout. Like, is that like part of, like, have you done that previously? Because I, like, to your credit, it's like it's a, like, I don't like it's a book. Like it's
like it's professional.
No, it looks good. Like it's all like you got the Imperial like pill thing and then it's color coded, very easy on the eye, and like things are like bolded that should be bolded, and like no, but just like the layout is A1. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like is that your background or?
So I'm a graphic designer, and I've also, I've worked at an architecture firm where we had to put together using InDesign, which is what I used for this. It's, but I had to use InDesign to make, what are those called? Like architecture briefs where you try to get jobs, you know, so you have to like put together pictures. Anyway, it's kind of similar. So that, but then, I just found out that I loved doing it, and Richard, you helped design it as well. You know, like I have the skills to do it, but you know what you wanted kind of in your head.
Yeah, when it came to like the outlines, like we got to make it more Star Wars. Like, how about those Death Star lights?
Right, exactly. And so, yeah, I put it together and I found like once we had what we created for part one, part two actually became a bit of a joy to lay out, even though we were under a time crunch, just because it's so fun to make these Google Doc words that you have. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful, right? It's so fun to take it in and craft it and make it just look great and easy on the eye, like you say.
Just like a tip that if you are under a time crunch, all you had to do was just drop back the date that part two of Star Wars, like you could just put that, let's just put that at the end of December. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, that's your deadline. Right. We wanted to put it out before Christmas. Ideally, we actually did end up dropping back the date a little bit because we wanted it to come out on November 17th.
Which is the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes.
Premiere date. That's the official holiday celebration.
Yeah. Yes.
But you're mistaking my comment for practical advice.
Right. The only deadline is what you set for yourself.
Right.
But if we push the deadline back, we would say, let's push it back another month.
Yeah. And then it would never come out.
I know about that. So how did the whole genesis of today in Star Wars history, how did you get the idea? And then how, like, did you enact the idea?
It all started back in the 1970s, way before you were born there, Steele. And this is when there wasn't a whole lot of Star Wars merchandise out there. There'd be books and some comics, and I'd want to make my own merchandise. So I would just write down, if I saw a book, it's like, oh, Luke Skywalker was played by Mark Hamill. I'd write that down. I would take notes in the books, and I would find myself writing down dates. Right. For no apparent reason. I was a horrible history student.
But you're a big numbers person.
Well, that
numbers just stick in your head.
They do. And I just kept writing out all these dates, and my folder for all my dates would get thicker and thicker and thicker. I'd walk into a bookstore, a Barnes and Noble. Remember those? Walden Books? What? And I would bring a pad of paper and a pen and just start writing. If I read a magazine or a book, there's a date in there. I'm going to write this down for no reason. And then I got a computer.
I do have to confess this. I am from the FBI, and I'm just here to bust you for copyright infringement in the early 80s. And now that you've confessed on air.
Yes, my name is Steele Saunders. I live at 123 Fake Street.
Right across from the Hard Rock.
Yes, that's where you can find me.
Don't rub it in. So you, like, had this love of Star Wars dates.
Yeah.
And essentially you started writing this book like 40 years ago.
45 years ago I started writing this book. And I just found in my computer files some of the original notes I had going back to the 90s. And I know I've got original handwritten notes going back to the 70s. I just got to find those. I do have those somewhere.
Wow.
But now everything... And those were just things I would write down. But now I've got to fact check everything. I've got to make sure that there's information in here that you're not going to see anywhere else. Like if I make a notation for Carrie Fisher's birthday, I'm not going to put in just the regular stuff you'd find on Wikipedia or anywhere else. I'll go through 8-10 different interviews and find a nugget of information. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. So if I didn't know that, chances are a lot of other people may not have known that. And I'll include that in there.
A fun quote.
So I'll put a ton of fun facts into every single one of these entries. And plus, I was at a lot of these events that I have entered into here. So I have firsthand experience. And whereas a lot of other reference books may not, they'll just put down the basic facts. But I'll, since I'm there, I know what happened behind the scenes. I know what happened on stage at Star Wars Celebration Zero, the 10th anniversary for Star Wars. I was in that room with George Lucas's very first convention appearance, and I was there through his big Q&A. I knew what he was feeling like and what was going on there.
How is he feeling?
George, oh, he's very good. He was asking about you.
Okay, good. Hey, to your point, the fact that you guys have been at so many events or are able to, like, you know, connect with other people that have as well, the photos inside are so refreshing, like, because they're all new angles and photos, and even some of the production photos that you've, like, sourced I'd never seen before. But just seeing all your photos of, like, the conventions and stuff that aren't the stock standard,
right. Yeah,
like listen, full credit to the Pirellis family, but if I want to read about, you know, Star Wars Rebels premiering, I'm sick of seeing them up the front of that cinema, all right, you know. I'm up the back, I'm out of shot, where's my time? So I'm glad that, but to my point, it's just awesome, like, as a Star Wars fan, it's almost like going through your, like, while you're reading, but your Star Wars photo album, because there's all these, like, like, it's exciting to see, like, oh, that's, like, the angle from there. Or they took that photo of that thing at Celebration, or they met that person there. And it really adds to it. And also, to your point, reading all the little thing, like, it is, like, I'm pretty jaded to Star Wars, you know, like, a lot of the stuff I sort of, like, I like to think what I want to know, I know already, which is a pretty arrogant place to be, but I'm fine with it. But yeah, you did put some good, like, sugar on and, like, have some fun with it. It was super good. But this was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because I saw that you had the photo of the poster for that 10 years convention. Like, what was it like?
Like, that was an amazing convention, because at that point it was late 87 when Star Wars was going into hibernation. If you said you were a Star Wars fan, people would have said, oh yeah, that movie from way back then, and you weren't considered the cool kids like you are now. I see you're a Star Wars fan. People are like, oh, I like Star Wars too. And at my school, it was me and another friend who were the only ones who really back still into Star Wars. We went from Boston to Los Angeles, and there's a whole big hotel full of Star Wars fans. I could yell something out, and they would know exactly what I'm talking about. We could have conversations about not just, oh yeah, do you like Star Wars? Yes, that was a good movie. You can talk about the production of it. You can talk about the sequels, the prequels, where it's going. Oh yeah, did you read Starlog magazine issue 101? Oh yes, and when they're talking about the Ewok adventure, and yes, I knew about that too. There were cosplayers walking around, and at the local conventions in Boston, you see like a Luke or a Han, and that was it. Here you see Darth Vader walking this way, Boba Fett walking that way, a Tusken Raider walking this way. I didn't want to come home. This was my Mecca.
You become jaded to it now, but the first few times you see a stormtrooper, I mean, it's Star Wars. It's come into my room. It's so good. Yeah. But, like, Sarah, for you, like, Richard's been working on this for, like, decades.
Before she was born.
When did you find out about the book? And how did you become involved?
Well, okay, so that kind of ties in with your previous question, which is that, Richard, you and I started the podcast, and we started interviewing authors, and we became very good friends with, like, Russell Flores, who wrote Seen Unseen Disneyland, and Joshua Schaefer. So we have people, authors who have published their own books. And I think it was Russell who was kind of the cheerleader for you, right?
Yeah, Russell Flores, who wrote a couple of Seen Unseen Disney books where you go to Disneyland and, hey, I bet you hadn't ever noticed this before. So he'll write about things that you probably had never seen or even noticed at Disneyland.
Like the fact that the trash cans are themed to each land.
And so he was the one who said, you should put, and I was telling him about all these dates I had in a folder somewhere. And he said, you should write these in a book. Like, in a book? What? Do people still read books? And having other authors on the show and who self-publish their own books, like, this could be something. Mm-hmm. And so one day I said to Sarah, can we talk for a little bit? I sat her down. I made her a nice hot beverage and said, you know, the podcast is great. It's a big monumental task, but I think we're ready for the next monumental task. And I rubbed her feet and gave her some presents.
Lots of presents.
What a dramatic way to announce that you're going to be an author. Like, it seemed like it was building to something far more dramatic. Yeah. I don't know, but even I knew the end and I was like nervous.
So what would you say? That's 2016, 2017?
Probably 2015.
Oh, okay. Wow. I would say. All right. It's been in the works for quite a while, but he had to do most of the work until a year ago, right? About then?
I would say about 2020.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's when I thought I had it all done. I hired an editor named Justin Berger, who's done his own Empire Strikes Back unauthorized books. And he was editing it. But as he was editing it, I was rewriting it, because when you work is never done. Mm. You finish something, you look at it again, it's like, no, I could do this again. So I'm trying to stay ahead of him as he's editing. And then I look at it again, it's like, no, I got to rewrite this once again. That's when Sarah's dad stepped in and he went through it and tried to catch all this.
Wow, now I'm getting nervous again.
Because he's a fan, he's a Star Wars fan, but he's not like a huge fan where you could tell him, hey, do you know who Kylo Ren is? And
right. Like,
no, I know Kylo Ren, but who's Kylo Ren? And he would be able to read things, say, Rich, as someone who's not a huge fan, I don't know what this – you're playing the pronoun game.
There's two types of people listening to this podcast. There's one type that thinks, oh, that's a deep cut. And then there's the other type that think you've got a speech impediment.
That's why I made the point by saying Kylo Ren and Kylo Ren. Two different characters there.
So Kylo Ren, is he a purple guy in droids or something?
You know what? I'm glad I brought this up, because it was on this date, October 26th, 1985, that the droids episode Revenge of Kylo Ren aired on ABC TV.
There's no way. I think I just fell into a promo trap.
Sarah, look it up. October 26th, 1985. Oh, yeah. Am I correct?
The Revenge of Kylo Ren.
There you have it. And Kylo Ren was this little squat pirate.
Yeah.
So do you know most of these off the top of your head, or did you look that up like today?
I just happen to have known that.
That's a disturbing use of brain power.
Ask me who the vice president is. I couldn't tell you. Ask me who the senator or governor of California is. Not a clue. Ask me what anything about sports. Yeah, I don't know. Touchdown? Is that a hockey thing? I don't know. But I can tell you all about Kylo Ren, the pirate.
The fact that you both said sports at the same time was one of the sweetest moments I've ever dared. Well,
because Sarah finishes my
sentences and sandwiches.
How did you guys meet anyway?
Juvenile hall.
Because, like, to be honest, like, when I saw the photos of you dressed as Luke, I just, like, you're such a pair. I just pictured you both as Muppet babies, like, also cosplaying when you're, like, in primary school. But how did you guys meet?
We met at a swing dance Halloween night. So it was on, like, a Halloween swing dance. And, yeah. And Richard, and it was in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard, you were dressed as Anakin Skywalker. And I was dressed as like a barmaid wench, you know, very low cut top.
And I was so hoping you were going to say Padme.
I know. Well, okay. So at that time, like, I loved Star Wars and I had been into Star Wars growing up, but my Star Wars fandom had kind of waned.
But I also loved me a wench.
Yes. Well, so,
a day goes by where I don't say that.
But so it was me. I was at the swingiest place that I went to a lot, and there was a lot of guys that I already knew, and they were kind of older. So whenever someone young walked in the room, I'm like, ooh, I gotta go. So I walked across the room and I asked, can I dance with a Jedi?
And I said, do you want to marry me? And it was 13 years ago yesterday that we celebrated that we got married.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. So you got married on your anniversary or almost?
No, well, almost.
Yeah.
Because it's almost Halloween.
We met on October 21st, 2005, because I know these things.
Yes.
But we got married on October 25th, 2009.
Yeah.
So, well, and she said, can I dance with a Jedi? I thought, oh, who's this little pretty young wench here?
Yeah.
And then she was quoting Star Wars, like, where have you been all my life?
And on our first date, we talked about John Williams, like, all night. It was great.
Ever have that string of bad dates? Like, what's this one going to bring? So I wrote down a couple of topic things to talk about later on. While she wasn't looking, I'd be like, yeah, how about those Red Sox? They played a good football game, didn't they? And that Governor Newsom. Just things that we would talk about. And then all of a sudden, she's talking about John Williams. I was like, excuse me one second. Got my list and didn't need that list anymore. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is very, very sweet. Were you already, Sarah, like into like fandom events and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. So I was actually, I was into Star Wars before Richard. That's a question we get a lot. Like, did you get her into Star Wars or vice versa?
People always assume I got her into Star Wars. Like, no, she had Star Wars toys.
Yeah. So I was already into that. I was already, I was into Disneyland a lot. Like, I'd go to Disneyland all the time, annual pass holder, things like that. So that fandom was already there. Lucasfilm and Disney and all that I was always a big fan. But I think when Richard and I met, we ended up doing a lot more together than we would have separately. Mm. You know, like, you became an annual pass holder at Disneyland. We went to I don't think I would be a convention goer if not for Richard. Because you took me to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
What, 2008? Oh, and 2007, mm-hmm. Star Wars Celebration was my first celebration. And that was amazing. Yeah. So, you know, you go to one celebration, you're hooked, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I was always the one of my friends before I met Richard who was like, okay, well, we got to see Revenge of the Sith, you know, opening night. And I would like plan it and everything.
Yeah. Sometimes people get shocked by that, but it's like, you know, it's like the most popular thing in the world. Like, it's not that uncommon for two people to have enjoyed it previously. Like,
oh yeah,
it is quite large. It's not a selective group of in the know whisperers. Richard, what is your first date in either of the books that you remember? Like, what's the thing, the day in Star Wars history, the first one that you're like, I remember that one.
The one that was in your brain first? Is that what you mean? Kind of.
May 25th, 1977. The release date for Star Wars. And I'm sure everything, that was the first date I put in, because everything you'd read back in the 70s would start off with, on May 25th, 1977, the world of cinema has changed because of this little science fiction movie created by George Lucas. And then it just built on from there. So that was the first date.
Did you see it then?
No, I was a Star Wars holdout. I refused to see this Star Wars movie because I was still into
talk about the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah, when I'm loyal to something, I'm loyal to something. And in December of 1976, King Kong came out. The Dino De Laurentiis King Kong with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange, with King Kong played by Rick Baker. I loved King Kong. But then this new film came out called Star Wars, and it was getting everyone's attention. It's like, no, I'm not over King Kong yet. I don't. So this.
And you're eight.
And I'm eight, yes. So I thought Star Wars was rivaling King Kong. So I was like, no, I ain't seen the Star Wars. But little by little, I would get the t-shirt. I remember the first t-shirt I had was Luke and C-3PO. I hadn't seen the film yet, but I just loved the design of C-3PO. And Luke looked like me, a little toe-headed kid. And I remember walking around and some girl came over to me and said, Star Wars, did you see Star Wars? Like, no. She says, can I have your shirt? I'm like, people are asking me for my clothes off my back. This, I can't hold out any longer. I got to see this thing.
So what was it, August that you finally saw it?
And then August of 1977. And then a friend of mine said, Rich, you know, in Star Wars, they have this big giant King Kong looking monster. His name is Chewbacca. It's like, oh, okay. All right. I'll give it a shot. And I recall sitting there going, laser beams, spaceships, and creatures, and monsters, and this Darth Vader guy. Why didn't anyone tell me about this? I was mad at the world. I was furious.
My question is this: it's 1977. What else did you have to do? Like, what was like? You weren't getting barraged with content. It was like, it's let's go see the film.
I was a loyalist. I was a loyalist to King Kong, so I would not go see the Star Wars movie.
To this day, he has not seen Battlestar Galactica.
They were in contention back then. So you keep your fandom over there, and I'll keep mine over here. I'm a purist. I'm a loyalist, and knowing what happened behind the scene between those two franchises, like, nope.
Okay, does John Dykstra get a mention in here? Or is he?
He does. John Dykstra does get a mention, but
once you cross the company, you're out.
No, he's in
some,
there.
Some credits have been omitted for my personal preference. And that's just the way it is. There's a little editorial business going on here, but I make sure I make up with other stuff that you may not have known. Other credits.
And what's fun is, honestly, like, this book is very factual. It's a great reference book, but you've personalized it because at the beginning of each month, you've written a preface for each month, like what Star Wars means for that month. And then at the end of each month, you've added trivia questions so you can test yourself and see how well you have retained the information for that month.
We love our trivia over here. And it's like, this can't just be a reference book. Let's really beef it up with trivia. And then Sarah, I think it was you who mentioned, let's put a little something personal preface before each month. Like, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, January, any month, like, why? Well, what happened that month? Why is that month so prevalent? What can we look forward to? It's like, well, that's a good idea. And just giving out some highlights and really what they meant to me.
Yeah.
Like November, like, November, we got the Star Wars Holiday Special. That was a big event back in 1978. That meant a lot. That was Star Wars on TV. It was starting to cross mediums.
Well, I've got for the second edition of this one, January 15th is a special date. I was born. Ajax Citizen, thank you very much. But also, it was the day the Star Wars Holiday Special screened in Australia.
Whoa. Oh. All right, two things to add to that. I was born on January 16th.
Which
makes you older than me. Just don't do the math there. Okay. Don't do the math. And
hey, dude, you're peddling a book about dates. You better not joke about this sort of stuff.
Like, yeah, that's very, very true. But as much as I wanted to add things that happened internationally, I just couldn't. The book would have been just all over the place. So even in the preface to the whole book, I say this is just United States, and not even so much North America, just United States, because there's just so much out there, you know. North America could mean how much? That's not just always America and Canada. It can go to other outlying countries. Like, yeah, I'm just to make sure it's that much. It's that factual. I'm gonna keep it just to America. And there's once in a while I'll slip in something for England or Japan, but not that often.
So does that mean like the Star Wars prequels filmed in Australia just don't exist, or what?
Oh, no, they exist. But
all right, I'm just checking.
If when Star Wars came out in, let's say, in United Kingdom in December.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't have that.
I just, the book would still be being written.
Right.
And it's too sad a story anyway, because in Australia, I know, like, Return of the Jedi was months. Star Wars was, like, almost, like, I think it was, like, 9 months. But even The Phantom Menace, it was 2 weeks we had to wait to watch The Phantom Menace from when you guys. So publishing those dual dates, it's just so... I'm trying to forget those dark days. Like, what was the first date that connected with you and Star Wars, Sarah?
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, funny story. It doesn't exist because it would be... No, I'm serious. Because to me, Heir to the Empire was the big book that really got my Star Wars fandom going. Like, I had just seen the movies in, like, 1990 or 91. I was 9 or 10. And so all of a sudden... this book was published. I saw in my library, Heir to the Empire with, like, Star Wars on it. And I got it and I was like, wow, what's this? And this was 91. And I read it and I was like, my imagination just was opened to this world of Star Wars that was in my head. And I was just so enamored with all of the books that came out. And so, but when Richard did his research, this date, the published date for Heir to the Empire does not exist.
And that's the case with a lot of stuff in the 90s. No one kept records. Del Rey would just ship out books
to various bookstores.
And it was a gamble. Who would put up their books when? So there's not a consistent date for the release date for Heir to the Empire.
Even so, Timothy Zahn doesn't know. We asked him.
I reached out to Anthony Daniels has helped me out with this. Billy D. Williams I've reached out to. Timothy Zahn. Timothy Zahn said, I don't know. I reached out to Del Rey and they said, you know what? We don't know. We just shipped the books out and we don't know when people are going to put them out, which was a big thing. So if I can't verify a date, it doesn't go in there. When it came to the Nintendo, the Super Star Wars video games of the mid-90s, I called up Nintendo and said, when did these games actually come out? Because I'm seeing dates in November. I'm seeing release dates in June. Which ones were they? And they said, well, we think it's November. It's like, no, I can't go with I think. I need to know. And after doing all this, yeah, I talked to actors.
I've been in this book since I was 5 years old.
Yeah. Don't tell me, I think. So that's one, and I had to take the, and a lot of people love those games, those Super Star Wars games of the mid-90s, but I can't put them in there because I cannot verify the release date.
Interesting.
It's, and book dates didn't really have a publishing date until the Harry Potter books. Mm. Then there were events.
It's like an animated Christopher Lee went into Del Rey and just deleted it all. Deleted it all.
Yes.
Called himself Sifo Dyas.
Because I know there's like an authorized books like Star Wars Year by Year. They have like a lot of dates, but then they'll have like a lot of like also in. Like, we think it happened in this season and that. So it is interesting without that. Like, everything now is, like, burned into the zeitgeist sort of thing.
Yes.
And today, the book is called Today in Star Wars History, so I didn't want to do this, that. Also, in the month of December, this happens. Like, well, if I can't have a date, it doesn't go in. There's nothing wrong with what Year by Year is doing. That's great that they're adding more stuff in there, but that's not what the intention of my book is. It needs to have that exact date.
I can tell exact dates are very... like passionate topic of yours.
Yeah, they really are, because there's so many books and reference stuff and websites who get a lot of things incorrect, and
he doesn't want to call too many out.
I don't want to call anyone out, and you know, sometimes when you're writing a blog, you don't have time to do all the research, and you got to look at two or three sites and books, and I'll go through some magazines I've had since the 1970s, like, oh, I see an ad for this and it has a release date coming. The Star Wars video game coming on May 13th, 1980. It's like, oh, the date's right there. So I can verify that. So I need something like that. If there's too much wiggle room, then I can't put it in there, because I love knowing things. and I don't want to do just the, I think it happened here, or it could have happened here, or I just like to have things exact. I'm a little OCD when it comes to that. And there are some things, like I found out that, you know, the big May the 4th, every year you see May the 4th be with you. Mm-hmm. And every news site will say this happened because of Margaret Thatcher. She was elected prime minister. So there was a big splash headline, May the 4th be with you, Margaret Thatcher. That never happened. Someone fabricated that in 2011. And since then, every site took that and go, oh, this must be gospel, and ran with it for the last 11 years. And it never happened.
Wow.
I got a friend, and I didn't do all this research myself. I've got friends who specialize in different things, and I've reached out to them. Hey, can you verify this? Like my friend Michael Coate, he is very vigilant when it comes to research on theater counts and 70mm versus 35mm. I got a lot of that kind of great detail from him. Another author friend of mine, W.R. Miller, who's written a couple of books, he actually called up the London Library and said, hey, can you look at this newspaper from May 4th, 1979? And they went back and looked and said, yeah, no, this headline does not exist in the London Evening News.
Ah, wow.
So once again, I love that whole May the 4th mythology lore thing, but yeah, if it didn't happen, I can't put it in the book.
True that. So how do you generate the book? Like, get it printed, like, get it distributed? Like, how's, like, all that sort of, there's one thing to have all the notes and put it together, and then you've got this amazing skill, but the actual, like, the... to make printed a thing.
You yes birthed it. You yeah birthed the book.
Because like the presentation is like, it's like top notch. So how did it come to be this like chunk of Star Wars fun?
So that's your
yeah opinion. So yes, lots of research, and we discovered that KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing,
On Amazon,
would be the best for us. We were lucky because even maybe 3 years ago, they weren't as set up as they were to publish books like they are now, like single books. So what it is, you know, you have to make a, what is it called? Like a log, you have to make a login and all that stuff. And then there's, you know, I watched lots of YouTube videos, lots of how-tos on how to publish, how to do all this, lots of trial and error. And you upload your book, you have all your text, you have your metadata, you have all that written. Like, it's a big ordeal. If you've never published a book, like, it's about 20 times more work than you think it is, because of all of this stuff that you have to do. And
every once in a while, I would hear lots of cursing coming from her office. Like, yes. Oh boy, I'm going to close my door here.
It's true. That's how I get it all out. But yeah, so I figured it out, and you click publish, but then there's things like, then they go through it and then they send back emails like, oh, you have to change this and this and this. And so you think you're done, but you're never, you always have to like change something, and it takes forever.
And then they ask you about the pictures. Hey, are these your pictures? They say, yes, we've got photo releases for every, nothing here is from the Lucasfilm Disney archive.
Right.
Everything here is from us, which sometimes we'll get a movie poster and take a picture of the movie poster. It's like, okay, there's this, if we want to use the artwork, can't use the actual artwork, but you can take a picture and use it.
Yeah.
So that's how we did it through KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. And yeah. And if anyone has any questions on that, let me know. Cause I feel like an expert now.
Yeah.
And then the paper, you had to also do the cover as well. And the cover is like exact specs based on, like how big your book is. And that's another thing. Like, 250 to 300 pages, your text has to be a certain width inside of your layout. And if you go over 300 pages, that changes. So I had to like re-layout design the first part one because of that. Because it went over 300 pages.
There's a huge learning curve.
Yes.
Dude, so I'd be like, let's just like...
I know.
June 29th. Come on, let's just get it out.
Yeah,
but in the end, it was all worth it because we had our big launch party the day before Star Wars Celebration on May 25th, and we brought these in, and we thought, okay, we'll probably sell a couple. We had a line going out the door. People were passing Stars of the Mandalorian and just to get to our table. It was just, it's like, oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting all this.
Yeah, it was very
and we
exciting.
Put a pre-orders just went up for volume 2. We got an overwhelming response because people really liked the first edition. And mm-hmm. the people were saying, yeah, we use it for our own Star Wars research now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a solid chunk of Star Wars. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's... Like, you can just read it forever sort of thing. Like, it sometimes, like, books, there's, like, you know, there's too many pictures. You just get through it kind of quick. But this is, like, there's no way you're not going to get your, like, value for reading time out of this. Like, if anything, it will haunt you in your dreams. That you're stuck in February or something. It's like...
And I'm a very discerning fan myself.
Wait,
if I'm gonna buy something, I want to buy something I've never seen before, and something that may have information I did not know. So this is exactly I wrote this for a fan like me, but yet still doing it for a fan that may not be so hardcore. So it's a very thin line of appeasing both fandoms. And from what I've heard in the reviews, mission accomplished.
I just had to look this up. There is leap year Star Wars news.
Yes.
Do you know what happened in the leap year?
That's when the Phantom Menace novel came out.
Ah, look at him.
There you go.
What?
Once again, ask me what my middle name is. No idea.
Is that Scottish?
No, I have no idea. That's Huddy's for. I can tell you when the Phantom Menace novel came out. Not the four-ish, the one edition that came out with four different covers. This one just had Darth Maul on it. So it was a re-release.
Interesting. What a weird leap. I never even thought about that. A leap year Star Wars news. I want to know just a little bit more of like your Star Wars like tastes and stuff. But like Sarah, what's your Star Wars of choice? What's your favorite movie?
Oh, okay.
Or it can be your favorite. Thing. I don't even know what to say now. Like,
I know.
What's your favorite licensed content, Sarah?
I know, right? I mean, it changes, right? Like, traditionally, Empire Strikes Back, my favorite movie. It's got the love story. The love stories in Star Wars are what brought me in and what get me. So I love the love stories. Andor right now, I feel, is the best written show on TV. Like, best written Star Wars content since Disney bought Star Wars. It's just, and that writing, just everything on top of it just is blossoming. It's insane. And we've learned that possibly Dedra Miro and Kyle Soller. Kyle Soller, who is Cyril, there's possibly some kind of evil love story coming, and I am here for that.
Oh, Sarah's here for the love stories.
Yes. Yeah. So I love the love stories in Star Wars. And
And then when Princess and the Scoundrel just came out, she devoured that in like an hour. Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the love stories, and that's that. Yeah, I'm sticking to that.
Oh, I hadn't thought about them getting together. That is...
They've teased it in the press.
Actors have.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler. They've said it over and over
again.
They
were paired in a round table together and teased that. An evil love story and twin...
And this today's episode,
they got to meet the
burgeoning of
we
that.
Saw their meet cute.
They were shipping them today. Yeah. If I can speak the language of you kids, they were being shipped today.
the writing of the show is I was saying to someone the other day, it's like the Mandalorian stuff is like a comic book, and this is like a novel in like it's that sort of pacing and just like getting into the little nooks and crannies you'd never imagined, and was just like, oh, that's fascinating. I got to tell you, though, I wouldn't be going on vacation.
No.
In Star Wars. If there's a threat I'm going to end up in that cog factory thing, it's like, I'm just chilling on the holonet, and like, I'm going to be careful what I watch. It's
Order in. Order in.
Yeah.
Get to the DoorDash.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, pretend another pandemic. Stay inside.
Yeah, no bars.
Don't make eye contact.
What about you, Richard? What about you, Richard? What's your Star Wars of choice?
Anything that makes me happy. I love nostalgia. Watching Andor and seeing some things that are pulled from the original trilogy just gets me really happy. Watching something like Obi-Wan Kenobi, where they really drew upon a lot of stuff you saw in Star Wars because it's all leading up to Episode 4, that makes me happy. Just things that will really, really make me happy and remember that's what Star Wars is all about. But the things that I don't get into are the video games. Because, you know, I lost a good year of my life in 1982 because I was just playing Space Invaders 24/7, and I can't go back there. So video games is the one thing I just can't do anymore. That in the novels, because I'm a very slow reader, so I don't really read the novels, but
I give them the play-by-play.
Yeah, and I'm just excited about anything new Star Wars. Andor's coming up. Woohoo! Tales of the Jedi, let's do it. The Galactic Star Cruiser, let's go. Pack our bags. I just love it all. And if something is not for me, I'm not going to go and blast it on social media. It's like, oh, okay, that's just not for me. And I don't really think there has been anything that really wasn't for me, except for the video games, which if I don't watch a video or play a video game, I'll just go and watch this or read this comic book or watch this show or rewatch the movies again.
Or watch some MCU.
Yeah, or do some more collecting.
Yeah.
And just talk to people. I collect podcasts. I collect interviews. I love talking to people and knowing that I can talk to people that I've been looking up to for 45 years now, and now I can just call them up and talk to them and ask them these questions. That drives me every single day that I can do that.
That just reminds me of something I wanted to ask you. What on one of the pages? I'm sure you can tell me what page. But
1138.
It was so sweet. You've got a letter from Ralph McQuarrie back to you in like 1984 or something.
Oh, hold on. Pull up my earplug.
All right. For the podcast listener, he's ducked behind him. Richard's actually sitting on this very intriguing Jabba the Hutt seat. It's.
Yeah, you know what? We had talked to Corey D. Williams and Stephen Constantino, who were in Return of the Jedi playing a Gamorrean guard in Klaatu. And I have this from a Halloween years ago. It's the inflatable costume. Jabba the Hutt costume.
Uh-huh.
And good. And I found this. I thought, hey, if we're talking to people who are in Return of the Jedi in the Jabba scene, let me just go ahead and wear this. There's a screenshot right there.
It's triggering.
And so, yeah, and then with this one, I made a little tongue hole back in Star Wars Celebration 5 or 6. Sarah was Slave Leia, and I was Jabba the Hutt. Mm-hmm. I had a sound system in my costume. One of my arms was puppeteered by another arm, and it was, I puppeteered the mouth. Okay, but you know what? I'm getting away from your original question here. Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Oh, nice.
I was Jedi Tink, actually, that day, but other days I was Slave Leia. But yeah, there you go. That's from Celebration. That's the picture for July. There you go.
So now to answer your question, yeah, way back in the day, I was pen pals with Ralph McQuarrie. Oh, did I just drop a name somewhere? And I've got to cover his address because this is still where his wife lives. But here it is right over here, right there.
Oh, and then here, show him the...
And there's his autograph. Look
That's
at that.
So amazing.
Look at the artistry in that autograph.
The RMQ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seemed like you were asked. You're trying to hit him up for like if there was alternate pictures of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, because I'd read about these paintings he had done that wasn't included in the published Star Wars portfolios or things I'd never seen before of the Imperial cities or Millennium Falcon and dogfight.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With TIE fighters, and I read that, and he said, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. But then years later, one of those pictures that he had drawn of the Imperial City, which what became Coruscant was published. That's what I was talking about, but he just, I'm sure he's got so much on his mind and so many paintings that he didn't remember at the time.
Yeah, that's, then, I love that you were just, like, just so into it at that level, like...
Well, back at, then, like back like, then, at the, for the Star Wars fan club, they would say, hey, if you want to write to any of the actors, go ahead and write letters and we'll forward them. So I got all these autographed pictures, but every once in a while I would get letters back from some of these people. Here's a letter right over here from Richard Marquand, the director of Return of the Jedi. And there you go, right over there.
Wow.
And he asked me a question. Hey, I bet you can't spot me in Return of the Jedi. And I wrote back, yeah, you're the AT-ST driver. And he wrote back, man, you are a serious fan. So yeah, I became pen pals with some of these people.
That's you were just using the post like email.
Yeah.
You're before your time. That's so interesting.
Was that before podcasting? I was writing letters and asking questions.
I just never would have thought of doing that. Like, I never would have fathomed a way to do it sort of thing.
Yeah, luckily they had the fan club. And then later on, you hear, sometimes it's best not to hear from some of these older actors because they tell you things you don't want to hear. Like, a lot of the actors would say, you know what, people would write to me, and I live in England, they would want a response back, but, you know, maybe a self-addressed stamped envelope would have been nice, because to mail a letter from the UK to America, that's not cheap. And if you get a couple of letters a day, that kind of adds up.
But,
you know, as a 15-year-old, I didn't think about that. They should have wrote that in the fan club. They should have wrote, you know, if you want a response back, send them a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense. I feel like you're innocent. I felt like that that judge in Andor then, just like, guilty, bad fandom. you're sentenced to 3 seasons of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh my goodness.
Wow, bringing it back around.
Yeah, good.
Love it.
Look at that callback. Look at Steel, the godfather of the callbacks.
So you haven't watched any of the new ones even. You're just totally, wow, you cross him once.
And it's because of them. Well, I guess it all turned out in the long run, but when the whole big thing with Universal Studios, that when Lucasfilm wanted Tom Selleck to play Indiana Jones, well, the real reason was because Universal said, hey, Lucasfilm, you're suing us, so no, you're not getting Tom Selleck. And he's still under contract, but, you know, contracts are made to be broken. But no, you're suing us, so you're not getting Tom Selleck. Go get this little Harry Ford guy. Let's see what he can do.
Thank God.
Yeah, we talked to Howard Kazanjian, the producer of Return of the Jedi, and he's telling us all about all these inside scoops.
Let's just get it out there, the website, and obviously, like, if people are like me, and I'm sure like you, they don't want to get the second volume if they don't have the first volume. So,
right.
Because that's... It's odd. It's not right. It's against our nerd ways of cataloging and compiling and collect them all, as they say in the greats.
And you gotta be a completist. If you get one, you gotta get the other one. Come on.
Yeah, and the first one has, what is it, a silver ring around, right? The second one, part two, we've just changed the cover to include a gold ring around the logo. So
any of these Star Wars video collectors will understand that between the pan and scan and the widescreen versions.
Excellent.
a lot of really, really hardcore Easter eggs in here.
Yes.
And so did you have to select 6 more shades?
Yes, I did. 6 more shades.
Interesting. Was that like for you? A fun process, or like, how do I get the shade that's a different, but like,
oh, it was fun for me. Yeah. I love putting colors together. And
it was fun for Sarah until I said, hey, Sarah, can we add one more thing to a month?
Yeah.
So that's when I saw a lot of flying furniture,
but let's get this website out here. So
yes.
Where you can get it, where you can order both part one and part two. You can order them, go to skywalkingthroughneverland.com/book. And right there, you'll see part two is at the top. Part one is at the bottom. You could add both to your cart. We have it all set up. And if you do want to order both, we have a special deal.
You get my favorite.
Yes. So if you want to order both part one or part two together, you get free shipping, which right now is like $10. Shipping just went up for the holidays. It's crazy. So all you have to do is tap in the code LIFEDAYFREESHIP in the checkout. And there's directions on how, if you read through all my gobbledygook.
On the website. There,
on the website, yes.
Which
yes.
is?
Which is skywalkingthroughneverland.com/book.
Excellent.
And another thing is, if you do want to use Amazon, right now, part one is available, and part two is available. Okay.
Yeah.
It is. You know what? It's available, but you don't get the autographed copy. So we do recommend you we order from our website, because then you get not only autographed copy of the book signed by both Richard and I, you also get a button that says, the Today in Star Wars History. It's got pictures of Ahsoka on it and things, and also a limited edition bag with the logo on it as well. So you
and
know,
a bookmark.
And a bookmark. Yes.
Ah, I use that bag when I go to Trader Joe's.
Oh, see, perfect. Perfect. You're advertising for us. And I just want to say the price points. We have options. So there's the paperback copy of both. Part one and part two are $25 each. And then the hardcover, which does come with the, you know, crisper magazine paper and the hardcover bound, is $50 each.
Excellent. And if anyone's going to order, I would ask them to please go to our website, because getting it from our website, we get like 35 cents more than we would on Amazon, and every bit counts. Well,
that's what I was going to say. So you buy it from your website and stick it to Bezos, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
But like the deluxe, like, you know, some people love getting the deluxe,
yes,
the hardback, but just for like the content for $26, like there is, like, you are easily going to get your $26 worth.
There's 45 years of research into that. What does that break down into? Like, a third of a cent a day?
A day, no. Yeah, per day, yeah.
The research alone is going to be well worth it.
Indeed, yeah.
You've done your 10,000 hours.
Yeah, and then some. Even the Empire's like, okay, we this guy's had enough, all right?
Yeah.
We can let him go.
Now, but we do have to say, if you're in the Los Angeles area, we are going to be at LostCon. So, Richard, you want to?
Yeah, LostCon is a convention held at the LAX Marriott.
Wait. I'm in the LA area.
What?
So when you said it, I'm like, oh, what's this? I don't know about it. So this is, I'm very captivated. Please.
So LostCon is a convention held at the LAX Marriott. They've been going for the last 40 years, and we've gone the last couple of years, had a great time. It is a smaller convention. It's more literary than anything else. So you'll see
a lot of fandoms,
but a lot of books. And it doesn't really go. It's a whole different thing than Celebration or Comic-Con.
But sometimes those smaller conventions are nicer, because you get to know people more.
Very much so.
You get to talk to the people who are presenting. Like, we're going to do a panel. So this is the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Yeah. November 25th or the 27th, once again at the LAX Marriott, right by the airport. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday, the 26th at 1 o'clock, we're going to do a panel called Classic Days of Ridiculous Star Wars Rumors. Back in the 70s and 80s, all these little cheapy magazines would have headlines like, who will Princess Leia marry? Clone Wars explained. Mick Jagger is going to score The Empire Strikes Back. Things like that. And I've got all these magazines I got as a kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm going through them all right now. Here's some right over here. Here's Clone Wars explained. This is back from 1980. And these little...
It sounds like a YouTube channel.
It does. Yeah.
Space Wars, this magazine is called.
Yes. That is awesome.
So yeah. I'm going through like tons of these magazines and just picking out all these ridiculous rumors. Star Force. You know you're high quality when you call yourself Star Force. Star Wars 3, The Final Revenge of the Jedi.
This final.
That's clickbait right there. I just went through this magazine. Nothing on Revenge of the Jedi. Clickbait.
Yeah, but we are going to have a dealer table as well, and we have so many like giveaways and really awesome things from all the press events we've attended over 10, 12 years. So if you do end up buying the book, either part one, part two, or both, you will get to pick some extra swag.
So, yeah, we get a lot of swag we want to give away. So you buy a book, you get an extra book, an extra toy, extra something. We get tons of candy. We just got the Oogie Boogie Disney Bash. We'll be giving away candy.
Yep.
You're giving away toys, giving away other books, selling books.
Join us at LostCon November 25th through 27th.
I'm yes. holding out for that Jar Jar Binks Pepsi can. But
there you go.
Oh, I got some of those too.
Make sure they don't leak. Trust me. Awesome. Now tell us also about your the podcast, Skywalking Through Netherland.
Skywalking Through Netherland. This has been our baby for the last. We just celebrated our ninth anniversary, going back to 2014. We cover Star Wars. We cover Disney. We cover Disney parks, the MCU. We didn't want to just stick with one thing. A lot of we didn't want to go with just like it's the Star Wars one because a lot of fandoms are diversified. So we want to give everyone a little taste of something, and a lot of times these fandoms do cross over. So we'll do one episode. We'll do a Star Wars centric. Next one we'll break down an old Disney film. We'll do a primer on Moon Knight. So every other episode we're dealing with a whole different fandom, just to keep it really, really fresh and exciting, even for us.
Yeah.
This tomorrow we're talking to Myra Lee Heyer, and she just made the news last week when. There was a news story posted about her that she is really the one who designed a lot of Princess Leia's costumes for Return of the Jedi, including her slave Leia outfit.
Yeah.
And she's never gotten credit for it. So I searched high and low and I found her, and she's going to be on the show next week. We're going to talk to her tomorrow.
Wow. Great get.
Yeah. That was a hard one. I'd like to get just the guest that you don't really hear much from. Like, we'd love to talk to Mark Hamill, but we also want to talk to
Mike Quinn.
Mike Quinn, who was a puppeteer on Return of the Jedi and Andor, and talk to a lot of people you may not have heard stories from. People and Imagineers who worked on Galaxy's Edge or Star Tours.
Margaret Carey,
who was the reference model for Tinkerbell in Peter Pan. She is our fairy pod mother.
So
we've had her on the show quite a few times.
That costume one, I'm looking forward to that. That's
going to be a really, really fun one. Yeah, the woman is 80 years old, and she's had all these stories just built up in her. Mm-hmm. And someone up in the San Francisco area got a hold of her, and she told her all these stories. Like, oh, but I love this article, but wait a minute, there's follow-up questions. We love follow-up questions.
Yeah, I'd love to know her take on how the slave outfit has like transcended through pop culture, in the Friends episode and
that's one of the questions. That and seeing all the slaves, the slave Leia's at Celebration, and how does that make you feel?
Being
80 years old, she's, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I know I didn't get all the credit I should have gotten, but I'm kind of over it now. But still, I'd like to get some credits. Like, well, you know, come on our show and tell your stories, what you've done.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Next week.
Next week. Yes.
All right. So,
November.
November something in the internet.
Yes. I think November 6th. But the one thing I haven't done, Steele, is something that you've done. You've appeared in a Star Wars show.
Ah, yeah, that one.
What?
That's a good one.
Okay, now time for us to put on our podcasting hats.
Okay.
How did that happen? Tell us all about this.
Well, it was, because we're nerds, we know the code names and all that sort of stuff. And so we had, we knew people that were doing background work for other shows and working in casting and stuff. And so we just, started... Like, oh, if you hear about this show, casting, let us know. And just, one day I got, a screenshot that they'd posted the casting and, sent it in. Actually, I don't think I've told this story anywhere. I got the message to, send in, for Joshua Tree is the show. And I didn't have photos of, you need, a selfie, not selfie, but,
headshot.
Yeah, but not anything special, just iPhone, chit-chit. You know, you're just in the background. They don't need a glamour photo. But I was if I don't send this in the next 5 minutes, maybe they'll give this, whatever this like role is, to someone else. And I heard someone out here in the foyer of our little duplex thing, and it was the Amazon delivery lady. And I said, hey, I need your help. I've got a chance. This is the only person I told. I said, I've got a chance to be in Star Wars. Because I had to tell her the truth. I was like Andor. I had to say I'm in it for the money. Like, otherwise, I can't just say, can you just take some photos of me? I said, hey, I've got a chance to be in Star Wars. Can you just take like this and this? And she's like, oh, yeah, you got to get in Star Wars. And she came in the house and then saw my like area. And she's like, oh, yeah, you've got to get in Star Wars. And took the photos. And I always wished I'd never seen her again. But I always wanted to go, we did it. We got there.
I named my character Amazon Lady.
And then it just got the email like, you've been selected and went to like up to Manhattan Beach to do the fitting and got to like sort of, you know, sort of like with the guy that, because they've just got like a room of costume parts, like a army disposal, sort of like a very decked out. So they just grab things and sort of look at you. And at one point I had a mask and I went to the guy. I'm like, oh, I don't know about the mask, man. Like, and he goes, do you know what this is? And I'm like, oh yeah, I know what this is. Like, and so once he knew I was like a fan and like amped, he like made it so I'd have a chance to like be seen, sort of thing, which was very sweet. But, I'm trying to remember that Ferris Bueller's quote. It's like, if you ever have the means, it's something about driving the Ferrari. Anyway, if you ever have the means to do it, all that background work is I actually do it a fair bit now. Like I was just on, the next season of like my favorite non-Star Wars show, Succession, doing like, sort of B-roll stuff, but it's very exciting.
But we didn't mention what show you were on. I'm sure your fans will know that you were on Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, yes, of course. I promise everyone. There was a guy in Andor that looked like me, and a few of my friends thought I'd done it like again. They were just like, well, now we just expect it. It's such a bizarre thing.
And you were in an actual shot with Obi-Wan Kenobi, not just Ewan McGregor, but you were with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, that is awesome, but my pride is Luke Skywalker. I was in when he's walking into the store in Episode 6. I'm actually shoplifting in the background. So we'd make up little stories of our characters and what we were doing, and my character Ajax Citizen, and he'd fallen on hard times, so I had to shoplift, and I as an Easter egg to my youth, I used a shoplifting trick that was used against me in the first week of my job in this skateboard shop where. Someone went, can I look at that? And while I was getting it down, they got some, a watch actually. And so I'd go, oh, can I have a look at that? And then while the lady turned around, I would pilfer some space beans all while Luke Skywalker was behind me. But when we'll set up in our little spots and you have they're called the B team, but the stand-ins. Yeah. They call them the B team, but the stand-ins. So we had one, like we knew it was Uncle Owen, like, cause his stand, they're always the same person. And then there was a little person. So I was like, oh, it might be a Jawa or a creature. That's pretty cool. And so I'm standing there ready to like, as the main actors come in and I see this little kid. It's like, that's Luke Skywalker. He had sunglasses on as well, which was really cool. And I saw him standing there, and I just went to the guy I was like about to start the scene with. I was like, that's Luke Skywalker's here. He's a little boy. He's just over there. And he looked around. He goes, are you crying? And I'm like, yes, I'm crying. This is intense. I can't handle. Like, cause, just because the character of Luke means so much to me. Like, that's Luke Skywalker. Like, if we're going to, like, get carried away in the world of Star Wars and the characters we love, that's Luke Skywalker when he was a little boy. And somehow I've, like, back to the future, back to my childhood hero's childhood, and I'm watching it. And it was so bizarre. I got goosebumps just talking about it again. But it was out of, like, a couple weeks of surreal moments, to end up on the other side of the planet from where I grew up.
And you were on Tatooine. You're on Tatooine as well. You're living the dream. You're living the dream.
But I felt like I grew up in Tatooine because I was so away from all these things that I loved, like Star Wars and skateboarding and music. It was all in California. And now I'm here, but then I'm back in Tatooine and Luke Skywalker's here and I'm a man on a film set crying.
And I'm sure you weren't the only one. You were not the only one. I can guarantee you that.
I tell you one thing of us, even on a Star Wars set, us Star Wars nerds will find our own. You quickly work out who's holding their chest because Uncle Owen just walked past with the little T-16 toy. That was like, that's who you separate, like, whoever, like, popped for that, it was like, yeah, we're going to be staying in close contact for the rest of our journey. It was something good.
How many days did you work on that, and when was it?
You know what? I'm sorry. Before you go on, I do have to go because I have to get ready for another interview, but you guys keep talking.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
All right. Still, as this, I can't believe Sarah's leaving. How rude of her.
It was, I think, like, it was about 8 days on
the set. 8 days, wow.
But not together. So it was like we did 3 days and 3 days. And to be honest, like, after the first 3 days, I don't know if anyone could go an extra day. It was like 110. And it was out, like, in valley heat. For normal extras, it was like this, like, one guy that had been an extra for like 10 years, he said to me, oh, that was the hardest 3 days of my life.
Because of the heat?
Yeah. And just, and I was just like, oh, that was the best 3 days of my life ever. Out of, like, not counting, like, family stuff. I don't even understand how this is happening to me. Like I am tripping out. And he's just like, oh, you're nuts. Like, but he respected my enthusiasm. But
when was this shot?
September and, like, August into September
of 2021.
Yes, just the best, a dream. Like it was just like, you know, when you, like, it's sort of hard because you guys sort of grew up around Disneyland, but when, like. Like, if you've been to, like, Lucasfilm or Skywalker Ranch or something like that, you know how, like, when you're there and you're just like, I just have to remember, soak it up, because this is, like, such a peak. Like, I can't believe, you know, wherever it is, it's like, I remember even at, like, going to, like, to, like, a convention, like San Diego Comic-Con for the first time, or to Rancho Obi-Wan, and it's just like, I can't believe I'm here. Like, this is where it's happening, sort of thing.
And ironically, you put your phone away because you don't want to watch it later on. You want to enjoy it right then and there.
I also don't want to get fired.
Well, that too. Or thrown out a Lucasfilm. Yeah, you don't want to do that either.
Yeah, one of the few collectibles I got from the set was the an extra one of the stickers you had to put around your phone so you couldn't use it.
Did they let you keep your phones during shooting?
Yeah, not on set, but on, like in the holding, when you're in, like, tents and you have lunch in there. You could have them. Like, you weren't meant to take those things off, and they've got, like, I don't know, they discolor if you lift them off or something. But I think it's like if you didn't let people have it in holding, it would really hurt the morale because people can't message their, you know, their wives or husbands or whatever and say, oh, we're going to be late, or this is what I'm doing. So, most ones I've done, actually, no, I've only on Star Wars have I had the sticker, but they always let you have it. But
you'd have to. You'd go nuts waiting. The time between each setup is like an hour or two, and people will go through withdrawals if they don't have their phone with them.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have bothered me because I spent every bit of my downtime having to go to either the bathroom or the craft services because I never wanted to stop walking past a set. I was just like, I can't, like, I can sit later. I'm just going to, like, walk.
Yeah, take full advantage.
Yeah, because it was just like, it's such a bizarre happenstance that I got here. It's like, I need to, like, this is, I shouldn't be, like, I still, like, I forget about it because it's so crazy. How important it is to, like, us for that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
I would be the same way. I wouldn't want to leave the set and do whatever. I'd be picking up cigarette butts or walking or delivering C-stands, do whatever I could just to get myself on that set. And you can learn so much. And did they know what kind of a level of fan you were and had a YouTube and podcast? Like, hey, you know what? You can't talk about any of this stuff.
Oh, no, they didn't know. Yeah. I saw someone that I knew that was there. I didn't know. I don't know. I didn't know if they knew me or not. You know, when you're sort of just like, oh, maybe they like. Yeah.
See a lot of people every week, so we can't
remember
everybody.
Yeah. But I was keeping out of there. I just didn't want them to go, hey, even if it was cool, like they were not, like they like I like, they of course would have been nice, but in my head, the progression would be that they say, someone goes, oh, who's that? And they go, oh, that guy does a podcast or whatever. And it's like, what? And then, I was keeping pretty on the down low. But, a few people that, like, of the fellow backgrounders, like, as we began, I said, oh, you know, I do a podcast and stuff. And they're like, oh, that's, you must be just, great. And they all found it was hilarious that, like, I'd never done it before, but I just gotten into do that. But now I do it all the time. It's because there's so much downtime that I just get to work on what I'd be working at home.
At home,
to edit. Like I've been, do stuff in my store, or now that I've sort of finished my big job, I can sit there and edit a podcast and stuff like that. The difference, like how you're saying you'd never want to leave the set, the difference between the way I get off the set now, which is like, I'll make sure that like I'm undressed as soon as it's like I don't have to be filmed anymore, I'll get changed, and because I just want to get back in my car and get home to everyone. But on the Star Wars set, I'd always be the last person on the bus, and the last because I was just like, I'm not in a hurry I got nowhere to go. Like,
give me a broom, I'll clean up. Don't worry about me. I'm here to stay.
There's a lot of sand on this set. If you need it counted, I'm here. All right.
One granule, two granules, three. The sand it just gets everywhere.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing though, because I just wish it upon everyone. That's just true of heart. Like it was just,
I'm so envious.
Bliss.
So yeah. I had the chance to be a stormtrooper in that 1997 Energizer commercial, the one with Darth Vader was fighting the Energizer Bunny.
No way! That's awesome.
Who was personal friends with George Lucas, and I was working in the creature effects department, and she said, "Hey, Rich, they're filming a new Star Wars commercial, and they're looking for some stormtroopers." It's like, are you kidding me? Please make the phone call. And she called up and said, Rich, yeah, you're in. It's like, what? I'm going to be a stormtrooper in a commercial? And she said, do not embarrass me. Do not tell anyone how big of a fan you are. Do not take anything. It's like, I'll be on my best behavior. And then like 20 minutes later, they called her back and said, yeah, we're not going to do the stormtrooper bit anymore.
Oh,
my God. I cried for about 3 days and 4 nights. Because this is back when you didn't have like I said earlier, to see a stormtrooper walking around, it's like, oh, okay, I've seen a thousand of them in front of the Man's Chinese Theater. Back then, never. You never saw a stormtrooper.
Oh, anywhere. Man, that is
yeah
terrible.
Yeah. And my boss even said, Rich, you know what? You're scheduled for the next couple of days on this film, but you know what? You go. We know how much this means to you. Getting yours and your sub, and you go. You get out of here.
But you didn't even get to go to watch or anything? Oh.
Because being shot up at Lucasfilm up in San Francisco. I was down here in Los Angeles, so.
Oh, dude. Halfway through that story, I was like, this is the best story I've ever heard. And now I'm like, this is such a vibe check.
So whenever I see a stormtrooper, I always get that little saddening tweak.
Or a bunny banging their cymbals.
Yeah, breaks my soul. That's why I got a stormtrooper back there, just so I can get over this hurdle, this emotional hurdle.
Oh, man, that is...
Yeah. So when I saw you were posting those screenshots, like, oh, no, finally I know someone who has the inside scoop. What do you do? And I'll play a granule of sand. Whatever you need, I'll be there.
I don't know. It was just such a thing where I was like, I just wish other, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's so hard, but I sort of do that with fandom and people, you know, get to go somewhere or interview this or do that. It's sort of like you have your moments and you're like, you hug those moments and try not to, realize it's not always your moment sort of thing. Cause I even like, when, like at Comic-Con in 2015 for the Force Awakens panel, were you at that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just like, that was the first thing where I was like, this is where Star Wars is happening today. Mm-hmm. Like this is history. This is going to end up in today in Star Wars history. and I'm here. Like that for me was like, unbelievable. Like when I see the photos of it, like on starwars.com or in the Star Wars Insider, it's like finally from being like on the other side away from everything that this stuff is, that like I'm here to witness Harrison Ford come back out, and like it was staggering. So I just wish I could wish you there, Richard.
Next time you get the call, you know my number.
Oh, all right.
24/7. You know, we'll carpool. I'll come by and pick you up. That is my ultimate dream, is just to make an appearance in a Star Wars film, TV show, anything. And the heartbreaking thing is it's being shot up in Manhattan Beach. I'm in Long Beach. It's like Ahsoka is being shot 20 minutes from my house right now, but there's nothing I can do about it. Not a thing. So someday I was going to fly to Australia when they were shooting Revenge of the Sith, just for the, because I thought this is the last Star Wars we'll ever see. This is my last chance.
And it's my favorite lie. I saw that in your book. there's like a Time magazine.
Yes.
Revenge of the Sith, the last Star Wars. And it's like, it's my favorite lie in history. Not making any more.
Nope. This is it. Lucas said, that's it. This is the final one. Get it while you can. Enjoy it while it's here. And I thought, I've got to get in there somehow. But I just, too many logistics going overseas. I never did it. But now, I believe everyone gets that second chance at doing something. And the second chance is now. It's here. It's in my backyard. Ahsoka is being shot right now. And Skeleton Crew is being shot up there right now. All these new Star Wars shows. And it's like so close, but yet so far.
Yeah. But I got to say, man, as far as like achievements go, I don't know. I'm old school. Like, do you know what I mean? Like to have like a parchment like of your efforts, like, do you know what I mean? It's I don't know, I just think that's like such an accomplishment, is to like, you've got like this like amazing product that is a product of your fun. I envy that you got there, And
thank you, thank you. I have it sitting on my shelf, and every day I look at it, it's like, wow, I did that. All the knowledge that's in my head, all the research is now out there for others to enjoy and to learn something from. And even the podcast, it just these things like, wow, there's wanting to do it, and then there's doing it. You just gotta do it. And it's very, very humbling seeing my name on a book that says Star Wars on it. Everything that I've ever learned and knew and dreamt of is right there. So I've covered lots of grounds. Now it's just getting into the Star Wars universe. I've been so close.
Always wanting more. Always wanting more.
But when you finish one thing, you got to look, put your sights on something else. And that's my something else. Okay, done a podcast and YouTube. I've done a book. Now my next is just to visit that galaxy far, far away.
I hope.
And once again, you know, thank you very much. Now the circle is now complete. Like I said in the very beginning, Star Wars just makes me happy. And just writing things and talking to people like yourself and people I've admired for decades and decades, it just makes me very, very, very happy that I can still do all this stuff, that I can do all this stuff. And it's I don't want to say it's validating, but it kind of is validating. All the time I spent in school, in grade school, teachers saying, Rich, you'll never amount to anything if you keep watching Star Wars. It's like, well, if I can go back to 1978 and laugh at Mrs. Patterson, I would.
Yeah. There's nothing better than going, hey, adult from my past, you were wrong.
Yeah, hey, you know, I wrote a book, but what did you do? You taught third graders, which is good. Teaching kids is great, but you know what? I wrote a book.
Encourage their creativity a little bit while you're at it. What was the teacher's name?
Mrs. Patterson.
Yeah, I'm on to you, Patterson.
Yeah, they wouldn't be encouraging back then. I think they kept telling me, stop talking about Star Wars. Stop doing this with Star Wars. And instead of if you tell a kid not to do something, what are they going to do? They're going to do it. So encourage them in that direction.
Well, I'm glad you did, mate. But yeah, I just think like you've kicked it out of the park with this. I'm so not into sports like yourself that I just mixed up the metaphor and I said you kicked it out of the park. I think it's you knocked it out of the park or you hit it out of the – you did something out of the park,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, that was an Australian thing.
There was something in the park. Now it's out. Yeah, and it means you did a good job. That's what I'm trying to say.
Point well taken. When I mention a sports reference on the podcast, people will write in and say, "Rich, you had a sports reference." Like, I did. Okay, I didn't know that.
It's not a reference unless you know.
Yeah, yeah. I may have just heard something that day and repeated it. Something about hockey or football. I don't
know. Now, but before we cock off, there's a question I always these interview episodes always like to know is. What are you most looking forward to in Star Wars? Of all the things coming, what are you like? How about that?
I am very much looking forward to Bad Batch Season 2, which is coming January 4th. I love me some Bad Batch, and I can't wait to see their further exploitations of the Bad Batch in Omega. I love that series. I'm looking forward to Skeleton Crew, then another new Star Wars live-action show, Ahsoka. I can't wait for Ahsoka to premiere on Disney Plus, and I'm also waiting to see what they're going to do with the Star Wars Holiday Special. How are they going to further that along? Because they've been integrating some Holiday Special stuff into canon. I'm looking forward to seeing what's their next step into integrating the Holiday Special into canon.
Interesting.
So I'm kind of all over the place. I don't really have one specific thing. I just like it all. Like you go to Celebration or Comic-Con or D23, it's like, oh, all this new stuff coming. I'm here for it all. I'm excited about this. How about you? What are you excited about?
Oh, to be honest, I don't want to get too excited about it, but that Damon Lindelof rumor and the post Rise of Skywalker, I'm just like, I just want to find out what happens after that. I'm fascinated to like see what their conclusive like remember Heir to the Empire when you were just like, oh, that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
Like after the like I want I want to know that again. I
want to know Skywalker saga.
Well, not even if it's in the Skywalker saga, but in just in the galaxy. Like, what's the state of the galaxy like after that? You know, that's why I was always fascinated with after Return of the Jedi. And I don't know. And I like he makes things I really enjoy. So I'm sort of
Dave Filoni?
No. Damon Lindelof.
Oh, got it.
Like other things. So my dream project is for this this Tony Gilroy to take a few of these characters past A New Hope into Empire Strikes Back. I just like, this dude's killing it, like getting into the nuts of the nitty gritty of these worlds. Let's just relive the original trilogy, like in the back. Like, oh, I'm just like, yes. And just the way he does it, it's so like, hey, I didn't even know that, what was his name? But one of the Rogue One guys, Grimy or Melly or like one of the characters from Rogue One is in.
Oh, Melchi.
Yeah, Melchi.
Yeah.
Is like in the prison. When I heard the name, I was like, yeah, because they're going through the names and I'm like, some of these are sort of familiar, but I'm not like. But then I was listening to a podcast and it was like, oh my God, it's a Star Wars reference that I didn't get, but that was.
I love Easter eggs. And when they mention names, like, okay, I know those were all Easter eggs. So I'm looking them up like, oh, Melchi, he was seen in Rogue One. Oh, we're making all these connections. But if you listen to an interview with Tony Gilroy, he doesn't seem like he's that much into Star Wars or Easter eggs or referring or fan service. It sounds like that's the last thing he wants, but he's giving us all of that.
Yeah, I feel like the process is he's written this story and then, you know, your Pablo Hidalgo type comes in and fills in like...
Yeah, I need a stormtrooper over here and a clone trooper over there.
Or even the names or maybe this could be this person, but the fact that they've like gotten that actor back and stuff, that's ace. That fills me with glee.
Yeah. I'm sure Tony Gilroy will come back. I'm sure he sounds like he's having a lot of fun with it.
Oh, he's making a very, very good show. So yeah. I would, I don't know. Just like the ISB stuff and
Yularen come back. Come on.
Yeah. But it's all just stuff where it's like, it's fascinating, but I didn't know it was there to be like, I'd never really thought about like in that world. And now I'm sort of just going down this corridor and it's just like, oh, this is just like fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it sort of just feeds back into the world that I love. So, I love like few people got more excited when Luke Skywalker, you know, came back at the end of The Mandalorian and it's like, oh, you know, it's a harken back to your youth and your favorite character and all that sort of good stuff. But like this stuff to like, hey, here's this thing that you love forever and we're going to think about it in ways maybe you haven't for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Is this intriguing? And it is.
It is, but now what did you think of the moment when that one Primor security guard swore?
Ah.
What did you think about that?
Well, to be honest, I didn't notice. I saw it at the cinema thing, so...
Oh.
But I didn't even know, it didn't even register with me because it was so... Like, just said in the
moment, right.
Like, the swing of things. And then later on, I was like, what? Did someone swear? Really? And so, in retrospect, I didn't like it. On paper, like, with my nerd rules, I don't like it. But I didn't notice it. So, I can't get too worried about it. Do you know what I mean?
It took me I had a pause, like, oh, he did not just say that. Not only because those words just don't fit in Star Wars. We don't need them in Star Wars.
Yeah.
They've got their own... Say Carabast. There's a ton of things you could have said other than the S word.
Yeah, I don't like the made-up one. Like, they stick out to me like the S word, like it got past me, but the K word, I would have gone, it's a bit... Like I would have remembered. I'm up for a good old fashioned damn. you know?
Yeah.
Get a dam in there. But as I say, like, I, on paper, with my rules, I don't like it, but I didn't notice it until I read the internet. So, so I sort of have to go, like, it's sort of like, that's always my rule with, like, people complain things, like, post, like, seeing it, like, whether it's Luke's air kick in Return of the Jedi, like, on the, you know, the gif in the sail barge, or Rey does something weird with her lightsaber in The Last Jedi. It's like, if you don't notice it in the first screening, it doesn't, it's, that's just a part of making the movie. Like, it's not real. And so in the first screening, if it doesn't, like, like, if you're not noticing there's fishing wire, then it doesn't... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, years later, you used to be able to, like, see the fishing wire...
Yeah, the filament holding the spaceship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's sort of like... Yeah, but that's when you're older. Like, when I was little, I wasn't, you know, noticing...
Or if you did notice, you didn't care.
Yeah, but if it's on... If you get it past the first screening, then that's, like... That's, like, what most shows are made for. They're made, like, 80% of the watchings is people watching it once going, that was good or bad. Like, it's like, you know, once you're watching something 20 times, like, you're complaining about in that Lord of the Rings show, there's some extras that are, like, they're three places on a screen in a crowd. It's like, yeah.
If you're noticing that, that's not a very good show.
Yeah, if you're, no, but if you're noticing that on the first time, your brain works in a way so different to mine that I can't comprehend it as reasonable. Like, if that's the way you're wired, that you are, like, OCDing the cat, like, then that's, like, you have to also understand that your brain is very, like, probably blessed with some talents.
A lot of people now just want to pick out what's wrong.
Oh,
yeah. Everything is just all based on emotion and not really on... anything else, and they're primed to be upset about everything.
It's a darker side of your loyalty. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you haven't seen Battlestar Galactica, which is pretty funny. You should tell that to Katie Sackhoff, see what she thinks.
I will never bring that up to her.
I'd be, because she's a big fan, so she could. I reckon she'd respect your game on it, you know. But you know, like, some people take that tribal team thing, like you're not laying into Battlestar Galactica. You're just saying, I'm just ignoring it. But then some people are, you know, obviously they're watching these things with their enjoyment. I don't know, but their way of viewing is it like, I'm going into this to not like it.
Oh, and, yeah, all the time.
And let's find some.
Yeah, like, let's find some cons to the pros.
Let's find some reasons not to like it. But I, and like with this show, because it's so off the beaten path, I don't even have my like fan math or theories where it's like, I wouldn't have done it like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I never do that.
I do that all the time. Like I'll just like go, I like that, but this bit, but in this, I'm sort of just like, because it's such new ground. That I'm just taking it, like, I'm just like,
oh yeah.
Like, whereas if it's a returning character, I'm like, well, I've got my, you know, I've got my built-in thing, and people get way too carried away with that. But it is interesting to not, like, just to be free of everything, and you're just like along with the story, and it's not like it has to tie in with anything else. Although it sort of will in the end, but yeah, it's a different sort of viewing experience than like Mandalorian and Boba Fett, where admittedly, I was a way more like, oh, who's going to be on this episode? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that was a big part of the.
Oh yeah, yeah. You wanted. I love fan service. I love it. People bash it, but I love when they make references to something, or you have Ponda Baba and Dr. Evazan walk through a shot in Rogue One. So why was fan service? They're serving the fans. That's what the whole movie's about, serving the fans. But people watch so many of these YouTube videos where they're just bashing everything. That's what people's mindsets are now these days. They can't just sit down and enjoy it. And they have social media platforms. Like, well, if I got a platform, I'm going to use it. Well, use it to create positivity for happiness. Don't get a bash everything. Get out of that mindset.
Yeah, I don't know. I sort of look at it in a way of like, if there's something I don't like, I'm just gonna make my dislike of it funny to me, because it's like such a my being able to watch a movie that I liked when I was four is such a treat. So it's, you have to take it with a bit of levity, and it's sort of just like Space Show, love Space Show, live and die and bleed for Space Show, but I can only give it Space Show amount of like sadness. I'll let it make me as happy as it can, but like on like, you know, something that I don't like, it's like, I didn't like that, but it's just Space Show, so I'll just like move on with my life, and Space Show, on the next Space Show, it might be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which actually happened. I didn't enjoy episode 9 that much. But then that week's Mandalorian, like, I can't remember what the episode was, but I remember just like going, woo! I'm clean! I'm back! Yes!
Yeah, there was one of the episodes of Tales of the Jedi I wasn't crazy about, and maybe that was one of those times where I said, if they had done this, I think this would have played in a little bit more.
Oh,
than...
see, that's the weight I mean, because they're talking about characters and events that you're closely tied to. I'm fascinated. What was the bit you didn't like?
Episode 5. And this was the Ahsoka training episode.
Uh-huh.
And this was right toward... They built it up, Ahsoka's training under Anakin. The clones are circling Ahsoka. And Anakin says, again, keep on training. Keep on going hard, Captain Rex. Keep on going as hard as you can until she defeats you. And little by little, she's learning. She's succeeding. She's beating out these clones. And at the very end, we cut to Clone Wars Season 7, where Captain Rex takes Ahsoka into that hangar with all the clones.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would have been better had they cut to the moment where Order 66 was just enacted, and all the clones are circling Ahsoka, including Captain Rex, and firing on her, and she's doing those same moves that you saw during this Tales of the Jedi episode. It's the same moves. The clones are circling her. I wish they had paralleled the training to the actual real-life occurrence, which happened when she was actually being attacked. But as we know, when we saw the episode of Victory and Death of the Clone Wars, she's walking out into the clones, and she's firing at them across and battling with them across the hangar. So it's not really duplicating and mirroring what the training was.
So the situation she was walking into, that wasn't the scene where she sort of used the training from the lesson. So my actual not knowing the different Clone Wars episodes as well meant I enjoyed that more than you, because I didn't get that. I just glued those things together and went, that's interesting.
Yeah, different people will take different things from it. And this is the episode Practice Makes Perfect. And yeah, it's the only one where I had to stop and go, it didn't really end up where I thought it was, but what they gave, I see where they were going, and I'll take it. I'm not going to stop and go. I'm not going to watch anything else because they didn't satisfy my expectations, because I could never watch a TV show and go, well, if you're not going to fulfill my expectations, I'm out. Because then I'll have to go and do my own TV shows to fulfill my expectations. If I don't like it, you move on. And the next episode we got, which was the Resolve episode, was perfect. And I loved it because it tied into the films. It tied into everything that I hoped it would be. It tied into not just Revenge of the Sith. It tied into the Ahsoka novel. And my head was going, oh, look at all this fan service. Even though it wasn't fan service, to me it was fan service. But I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, it's weird, the fan service word, because most of it, in effect, is fan service. But it's only called fan service when someone doesn't like the fan service. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like calling something, oh, this is tasty food. And it's like, yeah, that's what you wanted, tasty food. Yeah, but I don't, like, this is too tasty. Like, it's just this weird, I get it, because, like, I get the, like, the intent, like, where it's like, it's too in your face or something. It like there's not a, like way to describe it. And I always find it interesting the way people got different levels. Like the Ponda Barber thing in Rogue One, it was a bit rich for me because I had to think about how they could be on that planet and then in the other on Tatooine. And I know you can like la 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 blah blah, and then they're there because it's all made up and you can just write it. But I don't like if it's like such a cameo. I don't want to have to go, wait, that doesn't even seem plausible. Like I like it more when it's like take for the cameo of the clone trooper in Kenobi, where you didn't expect it, but then right. When you saw him, you're like, oh, it makes so yeah. Of course, it'd be like, you know, homeless veteran clones.
It fit the story, whereas most fan service people think does not fit the story. It's just wedged in there to be fan service, where that clone played by Tamora Morrison looking for change, well, that does fit that timeline, does fit that story. And a lot of people thought that T-16 Skyhopper toy that we saw in Kenobi was all just fan service. Like, maybe, but I loved it. I loved that bit. Oh, when I saw that in the first episode, I was on the floor crying. I love that so much.
I have to tell you, when I saw it on the set, I was blown away. But I did actually think, I go, if I heard about this, I don't think I'd like it. Like on paper, if someone said, oh, and he's got the toy, he's going to go give him, you know, they always like got to fill in every little thing about the character of like, and it's right. Like, oh, that's how he got his toy. And it's like, Oh, like if I was reading about the rumor online, I wouldn't be enjoying it. But standing there, seeing him hold it on Tatooine, and there's Obi-Wan, and that's Uncle Owen, I'm like, serve me up! I didn't even have to go to craft services that day. I'd been served on set. And it was an honor to be one of the first fans serviced by that Easter egg.
See, I'm glad you were there and not me, because I wouldn't have held it together. There's no way I could have held it together if I'd seen that T-16 Skyhopper that Mark Hamill plays with in A New Hope. All right. Could not have held it together.
This is what you have to do if you're going to get on this set. You need to take some sort of like personal training or lessons, like excitement containment. Like you need to learn to just bury the excitement off your face and just bury it deep down.
In those movies where people would want to beat the lie detector, so they put a tack in their shoe and they'd yes. step on it to get a whole different emotion than lying, I had to fill my shoes with tacks, so I would have to step on them if I saw a little boy carrying a T-16 Skyhopper across the set. My shoes would be full of blood, eyes would be full of tears, but still, I would contain my excitement.
I'd be on the set. It'd be space blood.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Excellent.
Which would be blue or green or something.
So much fun to chat with you guys and to get me back into the interview on the interview horse. And as you said at the start, like I was in safe hands, like you were there for me. And yeah. And to think you had to fly to LA to do this in 1987 to talk some Star Wars.
Oh, how the world has changed in many, many, many ways.
Up and down, up and down. Make sure you give Sarah my huge thanks. I had it was just an awesome time. I hope you guys had fun. I'm sure everyone listening
definitely
had a good time listening along. And yeah, check out the book, because it is a top product today in Star Wars history from SkywalkingInNeverland.com.
Skywalking through Neverland.
Through. Oh my God.
Edit point.
Skywalking through Neverland.com.
/book
if you want to cut down that one link. If you're a real someone that likes to do something in the most succinct way possible, you would do well in the Empire and also adding /book to the end of that HTML What is it? HTTPS. I don't even know. I'm in over my head now talking about technical letters. Just go to the website, click the link, slash book, whatever you got to do, and check it out. But thanks so much, Richard, and thanks for from growing from hey to someone I can chat to about Star Wars. It's I as someone didn't know anyone, I appreciated the friendship that you guys like offered just in passing. It did mean a lot to me, so thank you.
Well, thank you for having us on your show, and thanks for coming over to us at Celebration. We had just walked into that bar, and you were the first one who came over and said, "Hey, Steele, it's been a while." And talking to Star Wars fans, you can just pick up anywhere. And despite what people think that Star Wars has a toxic fandom, not really. All depends on what anything can have a toxic fandom, but you pick your own friends, and look what happened here.
Yeah, I think too that is society has a toxic problem, and Star Wars is part of society. Mm-hmm. And so, do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's not going to escape because it's in everything. Do you know what I mean? Like whether all things that I follow, there's that negativity, there's that point of view, right. There's that sort of hate, and it's everywhere. So it's not like, I always get defensive of Star Wars where it's like, oh yeah, there's like, you know, there's terrible things that come up, but it's not because of the films or of the fandom. It's just like, that's just the percentage of humans in society that are interacting around mm-hmm. pop culture. So
you can either fall into it or just go, not for me, and move on to another group of friends that we're all out there.
Big not for me, thanks. I had a ball. Thanks so
Me
much.
Too. Thank you for having us on.
And make sure everyone goes and checks out Skywalking Through Neverland for next week's episode to find out about
Murali Heyer.
Yeah. And the costuming debacle. I love a good debacle.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, it'll be great to hear how some of those costumes and the iconic Leia costume came to be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And now it's in Gus Lopez's house.
or on Gus Lopez. You never know.
May that force be with you on that. Let's leave you with that one. No Photoshops.
Leave me with that visual.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.